Hello there, everyone. Welcome to the Bingus Bongus Hour. I'm Dingus. He's Bingus.
Do we have our special guest Wingus today?
Absolutely not. We have fired him, ejected him into the sun. He'll never be back. He was very inappropriate. He said nasty things about us.
Man, just can't keep good interns these days.
Yeah, hashtag us too. So, this is the Game Industry News Podcast, the Gin Lounge. I'm Vincent Mahoney. Neil Sayadovich is joining us once again after a brief sabbatical. And we're here today to talk to you about Pokemon, as per usual.
Yeah, because for the longest time, we had a trend where even if I had to shoehorn it into an episode, we were talking, Pokemon was getting mentioned in at least one episode. And at this point, and I appreciate Vince being kind, calling it a sabbatical. It was me failing out of a law enforcement academy, so I failed back here. So after that, I decided, you know what? Let's start our first show back about Pokemon, especially because Scarlet and Violet are coming out, and a lot of updates have happened, which have really kind of shaped our expectations of the game. Because for the longest time, Pokemon Scarlet and Violet has had like no spoilers, no leaks. It's just been really tight-lipped, but now we're finally getting some trailers and seeing some of the gameplay.
Yeah, and what better way to, you know, I guess celebrate you failing out of law enforcement academy is by talking about a world where they have socialized medicine. Which apparently now, like, they're doing socialized medicine in gas stations, which it truly is the future, because you get to ride around on a lizard for most of the game, at least as far as we can see. You get, like, a little lizard buddy, and he has wheels in his chest for whatever reason, and you just get to run around and supposedly visit the gyms in whatever order you want to, which is an extremely interesting concept. One, I don't think the games have explored, but the Pokemon Origins anime shorts that they did on YouTube like 10 years ago actually explored that. I don't know if you ever watched that. Did you?
I have not. I've been meaning to watch some more of the anime. It's also hard to find now, but no, I have not watched the Origins.
Actually, yeah, that's true. They did make Origins really hard to find because it was on YouTube, so you could watch it for free. And as far as I understand now, they removed it, so now I can only find like various clips. But they got a really good studio to animate it.
I know they have Pokemon TV now. The problem is, like, it has seasons 1 and 2, maybe 3, and then it has like seasons 23, 24, 25.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, I guess you're not missing a lot by not watching, like, Johto, because that's where I fell off with the anime. Like, I'm Same. One of those old school dudes who is like, there's too much of nothing happening, so I'm just going to watch shows where stuff happens, and then I saw Goku turn his hair yellow, and I'm like, this is awesome. So, as far as, like, Origins goes, that has nothing to do with, like, Ash and his entire group. It was like an OVA where it followed Red from the beginning of his journey to the end. So, you know, he picked the Charizard, Blue picked Squirtle, and beat the crap out of Red for his very first battle and everything like that. And he went to Brock's gym at the very start, and Brock asked him how many badges he had, and Red said, I don't have any. So he's like, okay, I'll use these two Pokemon since you have no badges. So in the, like, Origins universe, the gym leaders would change up their teams based on, like, how many badges you had or how experienced you were as a trainer. And I thought that was a really novel concept that they could utilize in the games. And I have absolutely no idea if that's going to be something they wind up utilizing in Scarlet and Violet.
Like, well, we did see something similar in Sword and Shield, where when you beat the gym leaders, they have their Pokemon at their certain levels, but then for the championship, you play a couple of the gym leaders again, and they even tell you, those are the training battles, this is the real battle, And now they have different Pokemon that are like level 50, level 55, what have you. So that was actually similar to what you mentioned, where they had their stuff that they have for the gym challenge, but then they have their actual Pokemon, big Pokemon they use when they're trying to actually win for the champion spot.
Actually, that's fair. I completely forgot that you even rebattled them in the championship match. The only thing I remember from the end of Sword and Shield is that the CEO dude interrupts the final battle to prevent something that was going to happen in like 1,000 years or whatever, and the arbitrariety of it just completely caught me off guard. But yeah, like, that's a really... that is a good idea, and it seem, I guess they have the tools they need in order to incorporate that throughout the game, because if you wind up having like 2 badges when you encounter a specific gym leader and their levels and team are different, that might be real valuable. Because from what I understand, if you lose all of your Pokemon, you black out and lose some of your money, which I suppose makes sense, because when you beat a trainer battle, they give you money, so it makes sense that you give money back to them.
The blackout thing's always funny, so it makes it sound like you lose it and you get mugged.
Well, you know what? Even in a utopic world like Pokemon, it does make sense that people would mug 10-year-olds. No, doesn't. I mean, no, that's fair.
Oh, man, that's a...
I mean, the only way to mug a 10-year-old with a dragon is to take care of the dragon first, then mug the 10-year-old.
You know, I feel like we should use this whenever we have a podcast about the philosophical aspects of BioShock and video games.
Well, the aspects of BioShock. So you have BioShock as like a critique of pure laissez-faire approaches to capitalism. And then you have Pokemon, which kind of wears its Michael Vick aspirations on its sleeve. And then the one time where they tried to subvert that and be like, no, the Pokemon should be able to choose what they want to do, they just completely wipe their butts with it, because they introduce a big bad guy who's behind the like philosophical impetus of the black and white story, and he has like a broken freaking Hydreigon that's it shouldn't be evolved into a Hydreigon at the level that it is. So, you know, clearly that man had a game shark, so ethics is not Getsis's forte. That's all I'm saying.
So with the trailers to Scarlet and Violet, what I found most interesting was they've changed up the formula a little bit, so that there are 3 different paths that you can choose. You can choose to go on like the, from what I understand, like the Pokemon, the Legends Arceus exploration route. You can do a basic gym challenge like the typical games, or there's one where you're focusing on stopping the, I think it's Team Star, where your whole, your story is dedicating to stopping there. I guess antics would be the right word I'm looking for, stopping their antics and their whatever their vague motivations are. So I like that they give you a choice. I don't know if I'm really on board with the Team Star version, just because I feel Pokemon teams have been slowly declining in recent generations. They're not as menacing. They're not even really like threats. They're just hooligans in costumes. And I don't know if the stakes would be high enough for that to be a full storyline. Nor do we know if it's you pick one and the other two close off, or you can do all three. So that could be something that weighs on the decision as well.
I didn't get that idea from the trailer that like those things are all separate. I thought that you were just going to be interacting with all of them as you progress through the game as normal. So I just kind of assumed, oh, you're going to do your gym challenge and you'll run into Team Star as you go along. Though I do agree that the teams have been getting like slightly worse, but I think the reason why they did that, like Gen 6 team, Team Flare, they're awful. Like, everyone universally agrees that Team Flair is terrible. But, Team... What was the team from Gen 7?
Which game was 7?
Sun and Moon. It had Guzma as the leader of the
team. Oh, that was Team Skull.
Okay. Yeah, Team Skull, like, took a back seat to the Aether Foundation, which makes sense because they weren't actually, like, the antagonists. The Aether Foundation was kind of leading a well-meaning but also not very good at what he does, like, team leader by the nose. So it makes sense, like, why he wasn't so great. And then Sword and Shield just completely shit the bed in every single regard, because you had Team Yell, but the actual big bad was Chairman Rose, who, like I mentioned earlier, he didn't have to actually be the big bad in any regard. He could have just waited literally 24 hours, and everything would have been fine, and Leon would have helped him do his crazy plan to solve the energy crisis that was going to happen a literal millennia later. I feel like they rewrote the story at some point and then forgot to, like, connect some dots because it became incredibly arbitrary. But Team Yell was just a group of literal soccer hooligans. Like, that was their inspiration, and they succeeded in it. But yeah, they weren't a threat, just because the actual threat was a completely different group that ultimately wound up... They showed up for literally like a half hour to 45 minutes of gameplay, and I don't think you even see any of them again. The, like, little scientist dudes in that tower. You at least were exposed to more of the Aether Foundation people in Gen 7.
Yeah.
But,
So going back to something you said earlier, I did bring up a article from Game Rant, and they did say that the Victory Road storyline does allow you to go to the gym in any order.
Right. Apparently, I just haven't seen the stuff on the different storylines yet, because I thought they were all going to be intertwined and intermixed.
I think they are. I don't see anything that is confirming that they're one or the other, so that might have been me misunderstanding. But hey, I would admit when I am wrong.
Well, I've also missed a few trailers, so I have no idea either way. I saw, like, the first couple of trailers, and I think I saw the most recent one, where it showed, like, you actually have multiplayer now, so you can run around with your friends on the little motorcycle dinos.
But what about me? I don't have friends. I mean, you're contractually obligated to deal with me. That's why you're here.
Well, it seems like four players can play at once, so they'll be... You know, me on my Switch, you on yours, and then my wife on hers, and probably, I think your wife has a Switch Lite, right?
Yeah.
So, ideally, all four of us would just be able to roll around at the speed of sound and, like, do whatever. I have no idea, like, how, I don't know how it actually works, and I don't think they've released any information on when and where you can actually partake in multiplayer. I'm kind of hoping that they just let you, like, double battle everything, because that'd be incredible.
Right. But
the odds of them actually letting you do that are low. Because they did let you double battle everything in, like, Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee, but the opposing trainers didn't double battle. It was literally you just ganging up on single Pokemon at the same time, which it's Pokemon arch enemy. And they had absolutely no bonuses to get around that, so it was like little brother mode. I mean, it was still fun because I just kind of controlled the second trainer for my wife, who was actually playing through Red and Blue completely for the first time, and like I was having nostalgiagasms the entire time, because I'm like, oh man, they actually did like the champion music justice. Because I don't know, I'm real big into like the media, like the sound side of video games.
I think what's funny is doing the two on ones and Let's Go. Excuse me, because I remember when my wife and I got Let's Go Eevee, we did the same thing for a little bit. It kind of also, going back to philosophy, is like, well, who is really the bad guy here? Because if you watch the old animes, that's the kind of stupid shit Team Rocket would do. where that you they have a Pokemon and you just throw two or three Pokemon out and just say get them.
Yeah, but you do have to remember that James is literally the best trainer in the entire Pokemon universe, and I will not be taking questions at this time. He's the only one, as far as I remember, who would just straight up be like, hey, do you want to come with me? And they'd be like, absolutely. The only one who did that. So...
Well, I if my memory is not mistaken, didn't Ash do that as well?
Not for every single Pokemon he, like, came across.
Oh, that's right. Not for everyone.
Yeah, James is always just like, hey... Do you want to come along with me? And I mean, he sucks at battling. That's just, that's his character, I suppose. But, I don't know. It's amusing, but I haven't watched the Pokemon anime in a very long time.
Yeah. What's the old phrase that, Team Rocket always has to hold the idiot ball? Who's holding the idiot ball this week? And it's always going to be Team Rocket because that's the show.
Yeah, that's the entire reason why they're constantly injected into the story, is like they'll do one thing that might move something else along, and then they get blown away by Pikachu, you know, 9,001 times, which is fine. Like, you can have your gimmicks, which makes when they actually work with Ash and company that much more special, I suppose. Though I've only really seen memes and clips regarding that, because again, like, once the Johto part of the anime stopped, I completely dipped out until they went to, I think it was the Advanced series, where like they were actually doing the Battle Frontier, and Ash like won everything there, which was really cool. And then I dipped out again until X, Y, and Z, which is where Ash and his Greninja started like synchronizing and stuff. And I didn't even watch it in English. I watched it in Japanese because it was a lot more entertaining there. Because once again, better music. They always screw the music up in the English dub of that for some reason. It's kind of like what they did to Dragon Ball Super. Like, I know you're not big into Dragon Ball, but for the Tournament of Power part in Dragon Ball Super, where Goku would turn Ultra Instinct and stuff, they had a really entertaining song that... I'm not going to say that it's good, but it was entertaining and added to the moment. And then they just butchered it in English to the point where I can't watch it.
That should be our next podcast, Vince. The music in anime, video games, that whole medium. Because,
I mean, are you going to want me to gush about Xenoblade for a half hour at a time? Is that what you're wanting?
I mean, I get paid the same. My wife really likes one from, it was from the first opening for Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood. That one was a really, really awesome rock song, and it's has a really catchy. So it's
actually I watched Brotherhood. I do not remember the first one for Brotherhood. But when you said first song for Full Metal Alchemist, I straight up went back to like 2002 and remembered Ready, Steady, Go from the original Full Metal Alchemist series. That song kicked all sorts of ass. They did there was a rhythm game for the DS called Uendon. They localized it here in the U.S. as Elite Beat Agents, but the two games had different soundtracks because it was, you know, rhythm tapping game. The final song for Uendon was Ready, Steady, Go, the theme song of Full Metal Alchemist, because that song was so popular that band actually, like, did a tour in the U.S. Like, Full Metal Alchemist could do no wrong back when it first started. Like, it was... I'm not going to say it was as big as like Dragon Ball was, but it was really, really close, like insanely close. And I remember watching one of their like live sets on YouTube, and that band was entertaining as all heck because they learned a few random I mean, they knew some English, and they knew some phrases to, like, ask about. And he's like, they were in, I think, New England. He's like, do you like the crab? Crab?
Oh, it was them?
Crab? Me too. And I'm like, this is the greatest thing I've ever watched. But yes, that was them.
So, what, going back on Pokemon.
Yeah, nice little segue.
What are a couple pitfalls you hope they avoid?
Well, so after the first trailer that told us that, may not have even been a trailer, it might have been the first articles. It was like, oh, we're not implementing level scaling, but we're doing open world. I hope that that was like a mistranslation, or there is some form of scaling that's not just explicitly only level scaling. Because if you're doing open world, but you're in a level restricted turn-based system, you're basically just saying, okay, we want our players to waste a whole bunch of time by wandering into places they shouldn't be yet, and then just get destroyed and plop them back at the last checkpoint.
Oh, so Dragon's Dogma.
Dragon's Dogma. I mean, they're Shin Megami Tensei, like Nocturne, is probably the number one that I would refer to for this. It's not super uncommon, but Nocturne is known as being a punishingly hard game because it's, even when you're on the same level as the foes, it can be difficult to surmount the challenge. But Pokemon is like, you know, baby easy. So you'll go through periods where the game's too easy, and then you'll suddenly wander into a place you shouldn't be, and then the game will be too hard. And if Sword and Shield is any indication, they'll probably, like, badge or level cap the Pokemon that you can catch. Because I don't know if you remember, like, wandering around at low level when you come across a Snorlax that's 10 levels higher than you, and you still whittle it down, you throw a Pokeball, and it's like, nope, no, you can't have this. Go get another badge, loser. I hope they avoid something like that if they're either let us catch the overpowered Pokemon or actually implement some form of scaling. Doesn't explicitly just have to be level scaling. Like, if you're level 50 at what normal people would be at for the first gym, then yeah, give them like a full team of six, and I don't know, even give them items, let them be choiced. I think that'd be really funny, because like, clearly you experienced a bunch of the game if you're level 50, so you should have an item. Like, maybe you have a life orb, maybe you have leftovers, so you're evolving the strategy for your team. Maybe you've even done some breeding. The gym leaders should account for that then. But I don't want to wander into a place that I think I can be and then just get blown away. At least not in a point where I'll be punished for it. Like, I have tons of patience for this with Xenoblade because, yeah, you might wind up accidentally getting jumped by a level 70 giant monkey who blows you away when you're level 10. Okay, that happened. All it does is move you, like, 100 feet, and now the monkey's position was reset. Walk around it this time. It's very simple. It wastes so little of your time. I guess what I'm saying is I don't want them to waste my damn time. I only have so much of it left. I'm literally dying, Game Freak.
Yeah, for me, my comparisons for that would be Dragon's Dogma and Tales of Arise. Because the reason I brought up Dragon's Dogma was you'll be walking down this main road as part of the story, and you'll be killing everything. And then you just take a little side street, go 10 feet down this little side hillside, and see one solitary bandit. He walks up, pokes you once, and you die. And then you have to reload the game because you're somehow supposed to know that this bandit is 23 levels above where you're supposed to go, even though it was literally 3 feet off of your main path.
What, you missed the sign that said, this is the hallway of the pokey bandit?
Yeah. And then Tales of Arise is if you decide to pick a fight with something that's too big, it just, you die, and it moves, if it's not a boss battle at least, and it moves you, like you said, back a little bit, takes some of your cure points that you can restock by sleeping or camping, and then says, okay, you can try again, or you can go somewhere else. And it was just like, it allowed you to go in and at least give it a try. But if you failed and it just got the better of you, you didn't have to go all the way back to the main menu and load and have to miss data. And so, yeah, I hate when the games are just expecting you to be omniscient and then they like punish you by making you have to go through a bunch of menus and load screens just because like, oh, sorry, you didn't read our minds and know that you weren't supposed to be here.
I'll be real with you. I got all of the achievements in Tales of Arise. I don't remember running into situations like that at all. That is literally how bad I am with remembering the games that I play.
Well, the only times that happened for me was at the very beginning when they said, oh, there's this big Zoogle. It's like the Mantis thing. They're like, we should come back for that. And I'm like, I'm going to try it. I was level 3 and it was level 41. Because you're not supposed to come back until like after you beat most of the main story.
Yeah, those enemies specific. I remember what you're talking about now. Yeah, they literally tell you not to go mess with it. Which I think that's more than fair. So I wound up avoiding most of those until I was over halfway done with the game. And then I just went back and cleared all of the ones I could out. They give you a side quest to take care of something like that really early on too, but I think they also had like a warning listed.
Yeah, it was the Mantis.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, I mean, like, I think Tales of Arise is fair. I don't remember Dragon's Dogma either. I'll be real with you.
it was kind of forgettable.
I do kind of hope they avoid like that sort of pitfall. I know there's a bunch of people who are hoping that that like Dexit will be done with this game, and I do not think that that is remotely going to be an option. Mostly because Terastallization, and I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing that right. Whatever the name for the new gimmick, the Terra hats. Terastallization with certain Pokemon and certain abilities have some pretty extreme ramifications if certain Pokemon are in. And I calced something out and sent it to a friend of mine. I was like, hey, if Porygon Z is in, him going Terraform with adaptability could really rip through some teams. So I have no idea if Porygon's going to be in. I have no idea if what's the ghost form of Ninjas called? Shedinja?
Sheninja.
Yeah, Shedinja. Because it has Wonder Guard. So if you use Terraform with it, like, and it goes electric and has an air balloon, the only way to kill it would be through poison or sandstorm or, you know, some effect that's not an attacking move. Which, that wouldn't be the worst. I just think that there'd be a lot of people who would get rolled by something like that online. You know, just the kids who like to set up 4 attacks and just do nothing but that. But then again, we've already had, like, Fear Rattatas to mess with those kind of kids, so it probably doesn't matter. I don't know.
Yeah, for me, I think the one pitfall I want them to avoid is kind of what they did with Sword and Shield, which is, I guess, not give us an annoying rival and not try to quickly tie together a story in the matter of 2 hours with a left turn down Crazy Town and go, okay, there, story's done. Congratulations. Because, I mean, just the annoyingness of Hop, the just stupid left turn of, I can't wait one more day to solve this non-existent energy crisis, so I'm going to try to destroy the world. And the pacing going from, okay, we're pacing really well, here's your third gym, here's your fourth gym, here's your eighth gym, and you're done. And like, it was just like this breakneck, sloppy game at the end, and I really don't want them to do that with Scarlet and Violet.
Yeah, that's fair. I think I actually complained about that in my review. of Scarlet and Violet, because I was like, when you hit the sixth gym, you're literally 2 hours away from being done with the eighth gym, and then going into what the Pokemon League was, Pokemon League equivalent for Gen 8 was. And Sword and Shield is a Pokemon generation that it really benefited from the DLC. Like, I'll say that straight up. Because Isle of Armor was not bad. Having that additional area that you can wander around, catch a whole bunch of old favorites, and even do an additional, like, you know, rival interaction with, was pretty good. And then the Crown Tundra actually creating more ways to play with your friends was great. And from what I understand, I think they're doing, like, they're doing terror raids in Scarlet and Violet, which I'm hoping that they're very similar to what they did in Sword and Shield, because quite frankly, those raids were the best part of that game. So expanding on those would only improve, like, the longevity and just how interesting the games are as a whole, I think. But when it comes down to it, if they do wind up doing DLC, I'd hope that they don't just do it like how they did with Sword and Shield, where you get, like, one individual area and, like, a small activity that you can keep coming back to do. But I hope that they expand on it and make it even better. Having, like, a Battle Frontier, something similar to that, in, like, a DLC area would be phenomenal. Though, talking about DLC when the game's not even out yet is probably jumping the gun considerably. I have absolutely no faith that there will be a Battle Frontier or equivalent in the base game. I don't know why. Maybe the fact that they've abandoned it for three generations in a row could be why. I don't know.
Yeah, it's... I was frustrated with Shield because it felt like there was so much empty space where there didn't need to be. The routes, everything just, the game felt like it was rushed. Because and granted, this is me probably being nostalgic. I remember back in, like, Gold and Silver when you went on Victory Road. Victory Road was a slog. It was a challenge before you got to the, not the Indigo Plateau, but the wherever the final, the Elite Four were in the champion. Then we do the equivalent on Sword and Shield. We take a train. There's like four patches of grass that has Pokemon and about three trainers you have to face. And then that's it. And I'm just like, are you kidding me? This is the best we could do for the, here's the final corridor up until the Champions League.
Yeah, that's like the final dungeon. Then they just kind of threw a hallway in. Well, and like, to be perfectly honest, I 1000% agree that when it comes to Sword and Shield, they just ran out of development time. They probably needed to push the games back, but Game Freak wasn't allowed to push them back because the anime, the merchandise, all of these other things were relying on the games coming out when they did. And I feel like a major part of Dexit was them having to come to terms with the fact that they just weren't going to be done on time. And then you have the entire weird situation where they're like, oh, so we had to redo all of the character models from scratch when importing them from the whatever engine they had on the 3DS to whatever engine they're using for Sword and Shield, in spite of the fact that when you actually take the models and look at them vertex by vertex, they're 100% matching what they had on the 3DS. So if they did have to remake them all from scratch, they remade them exactly how they were before with absolutely no variations. And then the animations themselves were still pretty lackluster, all things considered, which I hate a lot of the animations that they do where it's just like, they just hop in place. And I understand it's not reasonable to make a whole bunch of animations for that many things. Like even the Digimon games or like even Temtem, stuff like that. They don't do like all of these absolutely unique animations. Eventually, at some point, you need to have some that you can apply across a group. I understand that, especially with how many moves they have. But I didn't see anything particularly better beyond like the starters, like super moves. Like Cinder Ace has Pyro Ball. Yeah. That animation looks fine. Like that one looks great. But then you still have a lot that are very similar to Incineroar's Darkest Lariat, which is one of the dumbest attack moves I've ever seen. It's supposed to be a clothesline, like a wrestling move, but he T-poses and spins at the target menacingly. That's stupid looking. Like, there's still no real improvement in that regard. If you're going to cut them to make animations better, then do that. And I got excited for Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl because, like, the opposing trainers looked like they had better animations when, like, you're in battle and stuff. And then that was an entire show I don't even want to revisit because they messed those up to heck and back. But when it comes down to it, the visuals do look better in Scarlet and Violet compared to Sword and Shield. Like, the lighting engine at least looks more unique. Because Legends Arceus actually looked a lot better, too. That was one thing that was pretty phenomenal. And it was just how the light hit things was a lot more unique and interesting. Looking at a Magnezone in Scarlet and Violet than looking at one in Legends Arceus, you can see a very obvious difference in quality. And it looks like Scarlet and Violet is going more the Legends Arceus route. Maybe I'll be wrong about it again, because I sure as hell was wrong about it with Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. Who knows, right? Don't get excited about things.
Yeah, and I think my final point is, I think that's what I'm most sad about, is I used to get excited every time a Pokemon game came out, but now Game Freak, Pokemon Company, whoever you want to blame, they have me kind of hesitating of, oh, I don't know, is this worth pre-ordering? Is this worth spending all this money on? Is it going to be good? Is it worth my time? Because, as you said, we are slowly dying, and we don't have a whole lot of time to begin with. So is this Pokemon game worth my 30, 40, 50, 60 hours, or would I be better off playing something else? And I'm hopeful about Scarlet and Violet because I've heard so many good things about Arceus, which I still need to play. But after playing Sword and Shield again, I'm still just a little hesitant that they're going to make the same mistakes.
And I mean, that's fair. If you're replaying Sword and Shield, I would recommend trying out the DLC if you can, because that actually is a lot of fun. It would have been, I would have scored it probably a 5 out of 5 if the Dynamax Adventures stuff was actually in the main game. Like, that was legitimately a lot of fun. I don't even like using legendaries. I just liked going through all the different routes and being able to incorporate that with friends. And I'm hoping that whatever they do for the co-op mode, they allow you to play with your friends in that kind of regard. I'd like to see multiplayer be integrated more seamlessly into the games as well, because playing Sword and Shield with friends is all... It's gotten no easier since the DS days, and it's actually gotten worse since the 3DS days. Because I don't know if you played X and Y or Sun and Moon, but like for X and Y, playing with a friend was as simple as like scrolling to their name on the bottom screen and just clicking it and being like, I'd like to trade or I'd like to battle with you. Being able to just bring up a list rather than having to wait for like a sticker to pop up, which sometimes they just don't for whatever reason. That'd be a lot more ideal. It would make the players feel like they have a lot more agency in what they get to mess around with, I feel, and it would, I don't know. They need to stop being afraid to let players play with randoms, I think.
Yeah, there's been times where Michelle and I just have wanted to trade or help each other out with raids, and it was just so unintuitive, which we still laugh about what you said when my character name popped up. We still laugh about that.
Well, yeah, because you have no real way of knowing, like, who randomly joins what. And even though I use, like, the exact same code when trading with everybody, random people just wind up joining sometimes. And I'm like, oh, hey, here, I'll trade you this. And it's like, that's not the thing you were supposed to trade me. It's like, what are you doing? And they're like, I don't know, I can't get in. I'm like, oh, it's the wrong person again. Gotcha. Because it shouldn't be that hard to play with friends and also randoms. But if you want to, like, ensure a friend gets in, you've got to use a code. And, again, randoms can jump in on your codes or whatever, but you should just be able to, like, group your friends together, then open it for whoever else you want to let in. Because, like, there's no messaging system. It's not like they're going to come and kidnap you. It'll be fine.
Yeah, so I guess,
and I don't know, if they wanted to try and kidnap me, they could try, but like they say, fat people are hard to kidnap.
So I guess at the end of the day, we're going to find out in what, November?
Yeah, it's about like 2 months away.
Well, Vince, it's good to be back on the show with you. Hopefully we'll keep these going every couple of weeks and get back in the swing of things.
Oh, we'll certainly see. I guess it'll depend on whether or not you try to join law enforcement again. You're trying to be your own Officer Jenny.
Or I fail out of this job.
Well, sometimes it's best not to think about it. You really do need to just consider the fact that maybe you're the very best, like no one ever was.
Da 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 da.
All right, with that, I'm absolutely closing this.
Thanks for joining, right, everyone.
Thanks for joining. Have a good day. Stay frosty. Don't forget to bring a towel. Get out of my house.